Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Amran's Podcast, episode 156. Today is Friday, May 15, 2009. This is the first time that I've been able to record two episodes of the Amran's Podcast in 1 week since the beginning of April. I guess that's an indicator of how busy I've been lately. But because I haven't been recording as much lately, a lot of things have sort of fallen through the cracks, and last time I updated some of those, and today I'm going to finish that, at least I think I will. I've got some news about things going on in New Zealand, some other bits and pieces, including the seven most boring things that people can talk about. And I'll tell you how that relates to podcasts. But first, I can't remember if I've mentioned immigration consultants in the past. I think I probably have. But they are essentially people that an immigrant will hire to do all of the paperwork and make sure everything's in order and then file the application to the immigration service on their behalf. And it can be a really good thing to do, especially if you're trying to coordinate everything from overseas. It's much harder to do, obviously. When I first came to New Zealand, we hired an immigration consultant to handle my work permit and work visa, because at that time, that's the only way I could get in. And I think it was a good thing. It was expensive, but probably not as expensive as it could have been if I'd gone somewhere else. There was a bit of an industry in New Zealand of people doing this sort of work. And unfortunately, some of them were rather unscrupulous. So the previous government put through a law requiring that these immigration consultants or immigration advisors, they're sometimes called, they have to be licensed beginning this year. That's ones based in New Zealand. And from next year, I think it is, or maybe it's later this year, the overseas ones, I know there's some in Los Angeles for sure, and I know in other cities as well, they will also have to be licensed no matter where they are in the world, basically. And the main reason for this is to provide a certain level of professionalism, obviously, but the main point is to protect potential immigrants from giving tens of thousands of dollars to somebody who can't deliver anything. I mean, it's the old story, you know, they promise the earth and deliver dirt. And to get around that, the government is requiring that immigration consultants be licensed, which is quite expensive for the immigration consultants, but it is a good idea. And if any of you are interested in immigrating to New Zealand and you want to know what I'm talking about, if you do a Google search for immigration consultants in New Zealand, just check and make sure that they're licensed before you use them, because there are apparently still some who are doing this work sort of kind of under the table. And you get what you pay for, really. A lot of these people, I mean, some of them may be actually okay, and they just can't afford the registration fees, which apparently are quite steep. But it's not the sort of thing you want to mess around with, because it's actually illegal to use an unlicensed advisor to do your paperwork. And if you use them and the immigration service finds out about it, you will be denied your visa or permit or whatever it is you're going for. So it's not a good idea to be using an unlicensed immigration consultant. But this is a recent development, and it came up in the news because some Asian immigrants in particular had paid thousands of dollars to consultants who weren't licensed. Their paperwork hadn't been filed by the deadline, and all of a sudden they were out all the money that they spent and still didn't have their permits. And so I don't know, I feel sorry for them. I don't know what's ultimately going to happen with them. If they were in New Zealand already, they would probably have recourse under the Consumer Guarantees Act or something. I'm not sure. But if they're outside of the country, or if these people are really shady consultants, they probably have no recourse and they're just completely out of pocket. And that's a really sorry state of affairs, I think. But some other things that are in the news. I, of course, have talked about the Auckland Super City. And I said I would give updates from time to time as things happened. Well, they're starting to happen. The Parliament right now is meeting under urgency to consider legislation to establish the transition authority or whatever. And actually, that part is already through, but now they're on the next step where they're dealing with the structure of Auckland. And a lot of this stuff is in flux. Labour is trying to amend the bill to try to change the focus of it. The government wants to establish a select committee in Parliament, a special select committee, to deal just with the Auckland reorganization and the structure that the government is going to take. But it's stacked with government MPs, which means that they can basically do whatever they want. And they say it is stacked in a way which is unusual for a parliamentary select committee. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they say. It's a big deal because there are a lot of people who feel that they had no say in the structure that the government is pushing. because, you know, there's this Royal Commission. There were thousands of submissions to the Royal Commission. The Royal Commission made its recommendation, and then the government changed the recommendation. But the actual form that everything is taking, so far the people haven't had the opportunity to have any input on. And it's looking a bit like the government is trying to make sure they don't. The select committee process will take submissions, but they are, it sounds to me as if they're trying to regulate it in a way that will make it very difficult for anything to actually change from the way the government wants it to be. And it has been alleged by the Green Party that what's behind this is a plan to take all of the assets that the councils own, shares in the port, shares in the airport, or other bits and pieces, so that they can be sold off, and that other things that the government does, water, wastewater, whatever it might be, that those things can be privatized and sold off to private business. Now, I don't know if that's true. I do know that the local government minister is the head of the Neoconservative ACT Party, and his party is absolutely opposed to local councils owning anything, and he wants everything sold off. The National Party has promised that they won't sell any state assets in their first term. So it could be that this is a structure that they're establishing to enable those sales to take place later on. I don't know. I'm as confused as anybody else is about what's happening. But the basic thing now is that things are moving forward. They are setting up the statutory authority under which this transition board will be established. The local governments that are existing now, the seven or eight councils, will no longer be able to do absolutely anything that they want as before. They'll have a lot of oversight, and they'll only be able to do certain things that are already approved or already in process. They won't be able to launch any new big projects, which you'd expect, I suppose. And then the big fight that's still going on is how are they going to determine the government structure for this new Auckland? And that is where we are at right now. And of course, I'll bring that up again when there's something else to report, I suppose. Now onto some personal updates. Last night, Nigel and I went to see Angels and Demons, which opened in New Zealand yesterday. And I'm not going to say anything more about that because I don't believe in giving spoilers. Except we enjoyed it, yeah. But the main thing is that we went to a cinemas that we haven't been to before. They haven't been open for not a year yet anyway, a few months. And we quite like it because the seats are wide. They've got nice wide armrests, and they're actually pretty comfortable for movie theater seats. So, you know, it wasn't too bad. The tickets were, some of you are interested in such things, were $15.50 each, which is about, I think it's $9.15 US or something like that for a point of comparison. The cinemas also offer Gold Class, which I've seen is now spreading to the US as well, where you sit in these recliner-type chairs and you've got wait staff going around bringing you drinks and snacks and food and whatever the menu you can order from during the movie. It's all very luxurious, but those are $30 each. So Nigel and I were able to see the film together and pay less than we would have for one Gold Class ticket. And the thing of it is, to be honest, with these more comfortable seats, there's really not that much incentive to get Gold Class anymore. So it's probably something that we would do for a special occasion, you know, when we just want to have a special night out, or maybe if Nigel's mom is in town, we want to treat her or something like that. Ironically, I think the only time we've gone to Gold Class, maybe it was the first time, was to see Da Vinci Code. And we did take Nigel's mom for that. And that was a fun evening. But we didn't do that this time. We thought about it, but in the end, we didn't. Which brings me, actually, to something that I saw on Yahoo News today. And it was actually not related to podcasts at all, except naturally I saw it as such. It was a list of the seven most boring things that people can talk about at parties. And they are, from 1 to 7 in order, well, this person's order: 1, a dream; 2, the recent changes in your child's nap schedule; 3, the route you took to get here, meaning the party; 4, an excellent meal you once had at a restaurant; 5, the latest additions to your wine cellar; 6, an account of your last tennis game; 7, the plot of a movie, book, or book in particular, the funny parts. Movie, play, or book, in particular, the funny parts. And I immediately thought to myself, there's at least one podcast for each of those seven things. And so I thought what I would do today is I would name names. And the podcast that's talked about that stuff is Emran's podcast. I think I've talked about all of those things, except for tennis, at one point or another. although I'm not sure that I've ever talked about dreams, but I've certainly talked about not necessarily the recent changes to my child's nap schedule, my child being Jake the dog, but I've certainly talked about him, and I've probably talked about things about him, so could be. The route you took to get here, well, obviously that's not totally relevant, except that when I've done car casts or what have you, I have talked about where I'm at, so it's kind of related. An excellent meal you once had at a restaurant, I've frequently talked about places we've gone for food, so that counts. Latest additions to your wine cellar, well, I don't have a wine cellar, but I've certainly talked about wines, especially Viogniers and things like that. And I've referenced wines as well in several different podcasts. And as I said, I don't play tennis, so I've certainly not talked about that. But the plot of a movie, play, or book, in particular the funny parts, I don't know that I've talked in any great detail about the plots of any. I've certainly mentioned movies and books, maybe plays as well, and songs. And I probably have mentioned funny parts as well in the past. So I have had at least six of the seven boring sins in this podcast. But if you think I'm going to tell you about who I was thinking of when I was reading those seven lists, you got another thing coming. Because as I said to Adam Neutron on Twitter today, that if I did that, my podcast would have to become How to Lose Friends and Alienate People. And I'm not going to do that. And speaking of people who I've recently made connection with, I'd like to give a shout out to Chris in Japan, who is one of my newer friends, apparently a relatively new listener. Welcome, Chris. And also speaking of listeners overseas, I'm curious if I have any current listeners in the United Kingdom. And if I do, if you could please let me know. You could leave a comment at aaronspodcast.com or send an email to me at Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, at aaronspodcast.com or whatever. Because this came up, I was having a discussion through email with Scotty, the little Aussie battler. And we were both sort of puzzling about why we don't have more UK listeners. For me, and I think for him as well, most of my listeners are in the US. And but, you know, there's a lot of people in the UK. And I suspect, in my case anyway, that the main reason probably is that I don't interact that much with UK podcasters. And whereas I have interacted a lot with American podcasters, and they've mentioned me, and or I've been on their shows or what have you, and you start to build an audience through referral and word of mouth and that sort of stuff, that's probably not happening with UK podcasters. In fact, I'm sure it isn't, because I haven't, as I said, I haven't really had much direct interaction with podcasters in the UK. So I am wondering if I have any listeners in the UK, and I would love to hear from you if I do. But if I don't hear from anybody, I won't necessarily assume that I don't. But as I said, it is something that came up recently, and I'm sort of curious about. And this kind of came up in the context of this Pride 48 extravaganza that Scotty and I are both participating in at the end of June. Because as it stands at the moment, Scotty and I are still the only non-US-based podcasters who are participating. And, I mean, I'm hoping that some others come on board, because it would be great to have, you know, a global presence. But they were talking about it on the last Archer Radio group show yesterday's, and were saying that I could take up the slack in the middle of the night, that Scotty and I could, while they're all asleep. And I thought, doesn't sound very fair, considering most of our listeners are in the U.S., But in fairness, I did offer to cover some of the middle of the night time during that, because it's obviously not the middle of the night here when it is in the U.S. So we'll see what comes of that. And just a reminder what that's about, a whole bunch of GLBT or GLBT-friendly podcasters are going to be doing live streaming broadcast on Pride weekend, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern U.S. time on Friday the 26th of June. And then continuing on for 48 hours. And I have no idea what time I'm going to be on or how long my stint is going to be, or even if there's going to be more than one. All of that is to be determined. But any podcaster who is either GLBT or GLBT friendly is welcome to participate. I don't have all the contact details written down, because I wasn't planning on going over that. But if you are a podcaster and you're interested in participating, go to pride48.com, and you'll see the email addresses there for the two folks you can talk to about taking part. The list is growing since I talked about it even on Tuesday. So if you are interested, get a move on. They're apparently going to close off the list or whatever at the end of May, so they've got time to sort out the schedule before the event actually launches. And, of course, we'll all have a chance to sort of get a feeling for how this all works. Daniel Brewer, who's one of the coordinators of this, had suggested that I do a New Zealand Music Month live stream episode. And there's still a problem with that. I mean, I've said how there is no license for podcasters to podcast copyrighted music. And I assume that's true in other countries as well, but it's certainly there's certainly nothing here. And there is no license specifically to allow podcasters or anyone else to do an internet broadcast. I would probably have to get an ordinary broadcast licenses from both the recording industry and from the musicians union thing. And that's an annual license. It's quite expensive. And then I believe you have to pay per listener on top of that. So that's not going to be happening. There's, I mean, I doubt I'll do a live New Zealand Music Month episode anyway, because I just can't. I mean, it's too, there's obviously no way I can do anything that's copyrighted or that's licensed through the conventional means, because I can't afford that kind of money. We're talking probably thousands, and I cannot afford that for one episode anyway. And I therefore am thinking I'm probably not going to do anything for Music Month. I mean, this is still up in the air, but I'd have to find somebody who's pod safe or who has released their music under Creative Commons or something similar. And I only know of two, one of whom is Monique Rhodes, who's been on the Amarins podcast in the past. And I don't know that I can arrange anything with the 15, 16 days left in the month. So I may just not be able to do anything at all. And it's a shame, because this could be an opportunity to promote New Zealand music outside of New Zealand, and I can't. And that's just the way it is. Unless copyright laws change and licensing becomes easier, it's just not going to change. As you probably noticed, I don't play pop music like some other podcasters do, because I know it's illegal, and I'm just not going to go down that road. So that's that. And one last thing I wanted to tell you about today. I got an email invitation to what I presume is a group 50th birthday party for people I went to high school with, or by, or whatever, in my hometown, or near it. And quite frankly, there's no way I would go to it, even if I lived closer. But obviously, the fact that I live on the other side of the world means that there's no way I'm going. But it's an interesting thing, because there's some people who are still friends with people from high school, and they're anxious to get together with them. I can't think of anything worse. When I left high school, I couldn't wait to see the back of it. I mean, I couldn't wait to move on and get on with my life. Many of the people that I went to high school with still live in our hometown or not far from it. So they may have gotten together frequently over the years. I've never been to a high school reunion. I've never really had any desire to go to a high school reunion. The friends that I'm friends with from that era, I was friends with before high school. And I think that might be actually true for a lot of gay and lesbian people who maybe didn't have such a great experience in high school, and they don't really have any desire to go back to those days. I don't know. But I know that for me personally, it wasn't that high school was a horrible experience as it was for some of my friends. It wasn't a good experience, and I have no desire to go back and relive any of those days. They're not memories I particularly cherish. There were some good things that happened in high school, certainly. There weren't very many bad things. It's just I'm over it. I've moved on, and I really don't want to live in those days again. I don't want to reminisce. I'd rather reminisce about my university days, or especially my early years in Chicago. Not high school. It's just, I don't know. It's just, maybe it's just me. So I replied no. I did respond, which a lot of people don't even bother to do. And quite frankly, I don't think any of them are going to miss me. I wasn't exactly the most popular kid in school. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of them sort of kept a wide berth for me because I was a preacher's kid, and maybe they were afraid to torment me. They'd afraid they'd be sent to hell or something. I don't know, but yeah, so that just happened today, and I just thought I would share that. And if any of you have been to your high school reunions, or if you feel like I do and you don't want to have a bar of it, I'd be curious to know that. I'd be curious to know what your attitudes are toward your high school days now, assuming, of course, that you are out of high school. If you're in high school, you might even still hate the days. But now I'm going to go on to my phone comments. And first up is Lord Byron from Illinois.
Hi, Arthur. This is Lord Byron from Illinois. I just thought I'd call to be sure you didn't have to lose your phone number. Enjoy the show and keep up the good work. Hope your winter is going well and you're staying warm or comfortable. Love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Your Lordship. Of course, we in the Commonwealth know how to address a member of the peerage, so I get that right. And of course, His Lordship and I have gotten to know each other over the past few weeks or months or whatever, through the Facebooks and the Twitters and the emails. And it's been great fun getting to know him, and it's always nice to have a new friend. So thanks again for that. And now on to the next phone message.
Hi, Arthur. This is Kelly, otherwise known as Trillion 25, calling from Portland, Oregon. Just finished listening to your most recent podcast, and we can't let your phone line expire. I wanted to let everybody know that you can reach the fourth best country or city in the world website, the funny song that was on there. You can see that outside of New Zealand, and I do recommend viewing it. The video is hilarious. I also had a quick question for you. I was recently called for jury duty here, and I was wondering if they had that in New Zealand. I can only assume they did, but if they do, how does that work? Anyway, love your show, and keep up the good work. Bye.
Well, thanks for the message, Kelly, a.k.a. Trillion 25. And I'm very glad that you let me know that, and let us know that the fourth best song does work outside of New Zealand. And if you haven't had a chance to look at it yet, you can find a link to it in the show notes for episode 155 at amrinspodcast.com. And do check it out, because it is a classic example of Kiwi humor and sort of the way this kind of self-deprecating humor that Kiwis often have. And it's well worth checking out. And so thanks for letting us know. Yes, we do have jury duty, of course. And I believe the way it works is that, like it does, I think everywhere in the U.S., but certainly in Illinois, it comes from voter registration rolls. They may use car registration rolls, too. I'm not really clear on that. But certainly voter registration rolls. And as I've said before, all New Zealand citizens and permanent residents are required by law to register to vote. That's not an option. And you don't actually have to vote, but you are required to register. And so theoretically, every adult in New Zealand, everyone over 18 in New Zealand who's a citizen or permanent resident could be called for jury duty. In the real world, it doesn't happen, of course. There are some people who have never been called, and I'm not aware of people being called frequently, like seems to happen in the U.S. I know that in Illinois, if you are called for jury duty and you actually respond to the form, you will be called repeatedly for jury duty. And I've heard that happened to other people as well. And there's obviously a flaw in their system somewhere. It's like, oh, we've got a live one. We got to use this one. But I'm not aware of that happening here in New Zealand. If it does, I just don't know about it. But what I do know is that it's much easier to get out of jury service, jury duty, whatever, here in New Zealand than it is in other countries. If you are an employee who is important to a business, you can be excused. And you can also be excused for many of the same reasons in the U.S. if you know somebody who's involved in the case or you already have made up your mind or something like that. The attorneys for both sides have fewer reasons to challenge jury members, but sometimes the judge can use his or her discretion to say, well, I don't think this person should be a juror. But it is easier to get out of jury duty if you can present a letter to the judge and saying, I can't do it because of this reason. Very often, they'll just excuse you from jury duty. But having said that, even if a person does go to jury duty, very often the trials are quite short, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks at most. And jurors in New Zealand aren't sequestered, as they often are in the U.S. The media isn't allowed, generally speaking, isn't allowed to report on the particulars of defendants in a criminal case until after the verdict is announced. It's called name suppression. And the name of the person can't be reported, and none of the details of the person's crime can be reported if that would identify them in any way. So they're only very general things that they're allowed to do. In some cases, the media has to go to the judge to ask, is this okay? And other countries do this as well. And the advantage of that is that it means that a person who is found innocent of the crime, or not guilty, I should say, doesn't have their name destroyed and run through the muck as you would in the U.S. when somebody's arrested and charged with some heinous crime and turns out they didn't do it. You never see that splashed all over the front page. Well, here in New Zealand, because they can't report on the name of the person, generally speaking, there are exceptions, that means that people who are found not guilty have less reason to have to try to clear their name or whatever in the media, because it's not sullied in the first place. We do have trial coverage of trials, but there may be details that the judge orders suppressed until after the trial is done, so as not to influence jurors. Jurors are told to stay away from the media. They're not supposed to read newspapers, watch TV news, or listen to radio news. And it can be a bit difficult sometimes because on the TV, they often put in a news thing about, especially if it's a high-profile trial. And a high-profile trial can obviously go on for a long time. But like I said, in general, trials are pretty short, and it is far easier to get out of jury duty in New Zealand than it is in at least many jurisdictions in the U.S. I've never been called for jury duty, and I've been a registered voter for a long time, 7, 8 years? What is this, 2009? Must be about 8 years, I guess, when I got permanent residence. I can't remember exactly, but it's been a while. And I know that once or maybe twice, Nigel's been called for jury duty, but because his position was too important, he was able to be excused from it without even having to go to court or anything. And so I know from personal experience that it is easier than in other places. Now, if it was me, and I was called, and it was going to be a short trial, and it wasn't going to be during a time during the beginning of the month when I have my major work commitment, I'd probably do it, just, you know, to find out what it's all about. But it's, of course, easy for me to say when that hasn't happened. So I'll let you know if it does. But that's it for today, everybody. Thank you both, Lord Byron and Trillion 25, to use your online names, for the phone messages. I do appreciate it. And I get to keep the phone line for another month now. Woohoo! But I will be back next week with at least one episode of the Amrens Podcast and also a Too Political episode. And that Too Political episode is going to be a special episode, and you might want to make sure that you have a listen to that one. But that's it for this week, everybody. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next week. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.